Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another week of Health Talk. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to share with everyone this week on our wonderful call. And we've been going through an amazing time right now. We have the 30-day detox that's currently going on, which I'm going to get into for a little bit. We had the holiday come up, and everybody just tuning in and enjoying the holidays and hopefully had a good chance to enjoy with the family, and just really excited about that. And also, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving in and of itself and how people on a detox fared. I know there was a lot of people that I talked to over the holiday, and they're like, how are you detoxing during the holiday? Like, why would you do that during Thanksgiving? You know, won't you want to eat certain things or do certain things? And for me, I was just became, you know, you exercise another level of discipline. And kind of when you, it's one of those adages, when you know better, you do better. And so for me, it was just really staying disciplined to myself and knowing what my journey is and what my goals are. And it really doesn't take much to satisfy your goals. It does take some discipline, but there also is some levels of skepticism if you are undisciplined in what you do. And so for me, it was just great to be able to get on and understand some things and just watch and go through the group. We have a wonderful detox group, and everybody gets to get on and share their stories and talk about what they're going through, trials and tribulations. And it was actually, everybody kind of in the group, which you'll hear from a few of them later, were just like, man, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, you know, detoxing during Thanksgiving and only able to eat, you know, certain foods. And if you look at it as a diet, it's going to fizzle out, and your body's going to respond like it's a diet. And most diets, for the most part, don't last just because, one, it's psychological, and two, you're not doing the necessary things to make sure that you can keep the variety in your diet where you don't get bored. But even that, sometimes we just have to fall in love with the mundane. Sometimes we just have to do the right thing anyway, and you get the results. And so that just has kind of helped me in several facets of my life, just to be able to pay attention and understand that, you know what, if I'm going to do something worth doing, it's going to take work. And am I willing to put in the work to get it done? And in most cases, because you see the results either from other people or you've seen the results through yourself, you want to take that next step and say, you know, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to do this. And that was kind of the exciting part for me and the other people on the team, and also having that support system. So, again, you know, the reason why we detox the body and a liver detox more specifically is because all of our blood is filtered through our liver. And also things like hormones that are made in the liver, cholesterol that's made in the liver, a lot of things that are produced from the liver that keep our bodies and our other organs healthy. If the liver's toxic or damaged due to toxins, due to foods, due to things we put on our skin, then our bodies can't function efficiently. And when our bodies don't function efficiently, then we have issues, health issues, diseases, things that rob us from living our everyday life. And during this 30-day detox process, it's not that you go to the bathroom for 30 days or you can't eat or you're drinking some nasty stuff. It's really in the beginning, prepping the liver, which is one day, and then the next day, depending on what day you start, most of us started on a Friday. And so on the Friday, you take the opportunity to prep the liver, which comes in the package. And then before you go to sleep at night, you take another drink that's going to really get in the liver and start to break things down. And then the next day, you're going to do a little bit more of prepping the liver to now get ready to excrete the waste and the toxins and the stones from the gallbladder, from the liver. And then at that point in time, you know, you have production and you go to the bathroom. And it's different than anything you've ever seen, because you'll see these stones that are coming out of your body. And I was brought to light on what the various colors mean of the stones by one of the people on our team. And, you know, basically they told me that, you know, if the stones are white, they kind of come from the gallbladder, which is where the calcification is probably starting to happen. And if it's ignored, if it probably would have been ignored for another year, another couple years, people would be getting gallstones removed. And then also if they're a darker color brown or darker green, they've been in the body a little bit longer or in the liver a little bit longer. And if they're lighter green, they're pretty fresh. And so that's always a good synopsis and breakdown when you look at something to know what's going on in your body and to know what is actually happening physically when you're cleansing the body and cleansing the liver. And not only that, you're also getting a lot of toxins and waste out of your body, and you start to feel better. The weight, if you have weight to lose, just comes off. Some people don't lose a lot of weight. Some people do lose weight. If you're at the BMI you should be, you're probably not going to lose much weight. But a lot of people need to shed inches. I know for me it's been about 14 pounds, and really excited about that. And some other people have lost more, 20 pounds, 25 pounds I've heard, and 11 pounds. I mean, so it's a range. And everybody's body is doing something different in the sense of how it processes this transaction. But most of us all will have stones. Most of us all will excrete stones from the liver. And then the result of that is sometimes in weight loss, sometimes in just inches lost, clothes fitting better, or some cases too big. Your energy level is up. The amount that you have to eat before you actually feel full changes. You'll find that you have to eat very little for you to feel full. So, you know, there are several benefits for the positive that you get during the process of this liver detox. And so doing it as a group and doing it as a team, it's just been amazing because of, again, the support system that we have. And then also the foods that we can eat. I mean, there's a variety of vegetables and fruit and also lean meats and some brown rice. I mean, so you can eat a good meal. It's not like you're eating salad every day, like a small garden salad, or you're not eating, you know, you can have your eggs. It's not like you're eating the same thing all day 24/7. And that's what a lot of people think about when they think about a detox, or they think about not eating at all. And especially when you tell them 30-day liver detox, and I have to go back to explain that 26 of those days you're eating every day, sometimes twice a day. And you're also taking a meal replacement shake, which is then going to give you back the nutrients that your body's looking for anyway. So that's what's helpful, because our nutritional levels are then restored, where for the most part they've been depleted. And that's why the results happen the way that they happen, because the body may have been looking for a little bit more vitamin B12. The body may have been looking for a little bit more calcium. You know, there's different things that the body may have needed. And in that meal replacement shake, and just giving the ability for the body to rest and not have to work so hard all day long just to process food, you tend to get those great results, because you're just filling up those little buckets of nutrition that your body has been deficient in for so long. And based on how deficient you are, really bases itself on, you know, how long you've been without great nutrition and how you treated your body. But the one thing about it is it can all turn around pretty quickly. Between the 90 essential nutrients and the detox, the body can turn around pretty quickly. And so, therefore, a lot of people and a lot of us didn't really, based on the results we had, want to mess up during Thanksgiving. And that was a wonderful thing. One of the other parts about why we do what we do as far as the detox goes and as far as the health goes is because once you get your body in balance, it will stay in balance for as long as you keep it there. And if you go back and start abusing the foods that you had and start, you know, messing up, then the body will fall back into the cravings that you had. It'll fall back into some of the old habits that we have. And if we understand moderation, you understand that you can have things and know how to have them and not make them a staple or not make them a crutch in your diet. Because that's what happens to a lot of things we crave. The more we have it, the more we crave it. The more the body asks for it, the more we develop a dependency from it. But once we discipline ourselves and we get the nutrients that we need to cut that craving down, then it's like, okay, I want this particular thing, and I can have it, get the taste of my mouth, and be good. Where I could probably eat a lot of it, I may only need a little bit of it and still get the same result. So that's the other great thing about the detox. And also, it takes us off of gluten. Gluten is a problem for most Americans. Gluten is wheat, barley, rye, and oats. And when you consume those things, you will start to find that you feel more fatigued. You may have some eczema flare-ups. You may have some asthma issues. You may have some issues that you find with constipation or diarrhea, and you may have always had these issues, and either they got progressively worse or better or just kind of up and down. But you'll find that these symptoms tend to be a sign of gluten intolerance. And the reason why you get gluten intolerant is because the small intestines, where absorption of nutrition happens, you have little finger-like villi in the small intestines, and they kind of wave back and forth like tall weeds, if you will. And as food particles get broken down as best they can in the gut, they flow through the small intestine. When they flow through the small intestines, these villi grab, or the particles kind of get caught up in the villi, and the villi suck the nutrients from whatever food that was that you ate, and that's how you get food into your bloodstream. Or that's how you get nutrients, I'm sorry, into your bloodstream. So now, if those villi are damaged because gluten proteins or wheat proteins don't break down in the small intestine, so they kind of tumble through. If you could picture a ball and chain just tumbling through your stomach or your small intestines, where you have very delicate villi there, and those villi just get beat up and they get worn down and they get worn down, and then if this continues to happen over a long period of time, you develop what's called celiac disease, which means you have to be drop-dead gluten-free. You can't absorb any gluten. You can't absorb any nutrition. And the reaction to it is almost illness instantly. You get violently ill. You can't even – I've seen some people can't even wash their clothes in the same laundry as people who've eaten gluten. So it really becomes a household change. If they have pets, they have to make sure their pets are on a gluten-free diet, because some of the dog foods and cat foods, especially the dry foods, have gluten in them. And then now you're susceptible on that front. So you really, really end up having to be careful and having to change your lifestyle completely, and you still deal with the ravages of celiac disease. And so to prevent that, of course, if you have any of those symptoms of asthma, eczema, constipation, and diarrhea, then we have to begin to look at our gluten intake. And once you start to decrease the intake of gluten you have, and especially after about 2 weeks, you'll notice a vast change in your skin and the level of fatigue you have, because gluten, once it's out of the body, can't continue to ravage. And the villi in and of themselves can grow back and will grow back and be restored as long as you're giving the body the right nutrition based on body weight, but you're cutting the gluten out. And so through the detox, based on the foods that you can eat, which is, like I said, mostly fruits and vegetables and some lean meat, you're really careful to not have gluten in your diet. So then that's why people will say, oh, my skin is much clearer. My bowel movement habits are much better. Or I don't have the shortness of breath or the fatigue, or some of my asthma symptoms are getting better. And there are a few other things that we have to do along with that to alleviate those things the rest of the way, and that's really just giving the body what it's missing. But the baseline and to get the body back to ground zero so that we can start to absorb those nutrients more efficiently and be able to take in what it is we need to take in as far as the nutrition goes and the deficiencies that we have, then the body can really focus on health and staying healthy. You're just basically giving oil to your car or gas to your car. And now the car is like, wow, I'm getting better gas mileage. I'm functioning more efficiently. It's the same thing with the body. When you give it the right gas and you put the oil in the right place and not in the gas tank, and you put the gas in the gas tank and you put the antifreeze in the radiator and you put things where it's supposed to go, the body will respond in kind, and you sleep better, you feel better, your skin is clear, you're not fatigued. And so that this 30-day detox is not just a detox for a couple of days. And that's one of the things that people say, well, I've done a 7-day detox or a 3-day detox or a 10-day detox or whatever it may be. But it really takes 30 days, especially for the body that's going to, if you have a lot of stones, and some of those stones have to be reabsorbed back and through the body so they can be excreted. So a lot of times you may have that major one that second day, but then throughout the month, you're still having stuff start to move around, and that's why you have those couple of days where you don't eat in between, and you have those days where you really, you know, fasting is amazing. And when you give the body the rest that it needs to not have to digest, to not have to do anything, it works wonders. And, by you know, the first day is kind of hard because you just our minds are so used to having food. But by the second day, if you follow the program, you're like, man, I feel pretty good. And then by the third day, you have more energy than you know what to do with. And that's the day you can start to eat again. While you're not eating, you're still able to get nutrients because there's things that come within the pack that will feed you your nutrition. You also can, some people just can't go without it. If you're diabetic, you might need to, you know, have a few almonds here or there every couple of hours. Every 3 hours, you can have a few almonds, or you can have a green apple or some celery stalks. So there's a couple of things that you can do in between if people can't stop eating, but these things are going to feed the body. They're going to give the body some added nutrients. They're going to give the body some added essential fats, some omegas in your nuts and different things. And so that really makes those couple of days a little bit easier, but you'll still find that you get a vast amount of energy when you let the body rest and really get in balance. If I ever feel like I might be coming down with something, or I feel like I might be getting sick, and I know it's time for me to just fast. Drink some water, drink some nutrition, and just let the body just do its work. Let the immune system work at 100% as opposed to just working at 50 or 60%, because part of it is used to digest some of the toxins that's in our food that we eat and some of the things we can't control within our diet. So the less pressure you put on your body, the more it can respond. And so that's one of the reasons why detox works in over a 30-day period. You're also changing habits. You're also changing bad habits to good habits. You're changing bad thoughts into good thoughts. So it's mental as well, because when you sleep better and you have a better quality of rest, your mind is clearer, you can think better, you can focus better. So it's not just, you know, a few days here and a few days there. This is something that really helps the body get back in balance. And then the foods that we eat also help the body get back in balance. And then based on that, once we're done or midway through the detox, if there's a person that's dealing with something like diabetes or some kind of blood sugar imbalance, we will give them the blood sugar pack. If they're dealing with bone and joint issues or back issues, you know, we'll give them, they'll get the bone and joint pack. And all these things and are designed to do is see those particular spaces within the body that need that extra attention. And once we start to feed those, the bones respond, the ligaments and tendons and disc between the vertebrae and all of that stuff will start to regenerate. Because now the liver can absorb all of that. The liver can take all of that in through the bloodstream and then decipher what needs to go where. Something needs to be some copper and some selenium. And iodine needs to go over to the thyroid. I need to send some cholesterol over to the liver. And I need to make sure that the lungs have what they need, to, which is calcium, to contract and expand, and the heart has the calcium and the selenium it needs. And so now it can just plug and play as opposed to trying to get a signal through a crowded highway, keeping the body in balance and having it balanced in a sense that it responds quicker. And we have to give the body all 90 essential nutrients. And that's one of the things where, you know, people will come up short because they say, oh, the doctor said I was vitamin D3 deficient. And they'll go to the store and get vitamin D3, or the doctor will prescribe a synthetic form of vitamin D3, and they don't really get any benefit. And they say, well, I've been taking this vitamin D3 for years, but every time I go, I'm still deficient. Or I've been taking this calcium for years, but I still have back problems, and my knees still bother me, and I'm still having probably to contemplate getting a hip replacement or something of that nature, and I've been taking calcium for years. But I've never seen a person make a good cake with one ingredient. And so, therefore, we really focus on the deficiencies as groups. And we have four groups that most deficiencies are housed in. You have the bone and joint group, which is the hard skeletal stuff. You have your soft tissues, which is your heart, your brain, your organs, and that kind of stuff. You have your blood sugar, which basically 120-some diseases you can get from having a blood sugar imbalance. And then you have your cholesterol and selenium deficiencies. And cholesterol and selenium deficiencies tend to be the pretty interesting ones because most people have been taught and told, if you follow traditional medicine, that cholesterol is bad for you, that you need the lowest cholesterol you can find. And if you have high cholesterol, it's going to clog your arteries, it's going to kill you, and this and this and this and that. And when you look at cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of Americans. More people die from cardiovascular disease per year than anything else. And when you look at cardiovascular disease and you really look at it in totality, you'll find that it's not about cholesterol that's been clogging the artery. It's about free radicals and the damaged cells that are in those areas. Because when we understand what cholesterol is a wonder hormone in the body, or a wonder drug to the body, that the body makes 80% of the cholesterol we need. And then we eat that. We consume the rest through the foods we eat, our eggs, our butter. But the system has done a wonderful job in telling us that eggs are bad for us, that butter is bad for us. And we listen. So then we start to use things like oils. And oils in a bottle are probably the worst thing that you can use. People say, what about olive oil? What about this oil? What about that oil? If that oil is in a bottle, that oil is oxidizing. So you buy a full bottle of oil, you pour some oil out of the bottle, you put the top back on. Now there's a gap between how much oil you used and the actual amount of oil in the bottle. Well, that space is air. You just trapped air in the bottle. Air has moisture in it. We all understand that oil and water don't mix. But when they do, it creates free radicals in the oil. And then we heat those oils. And depending on the type of oil, there may be trans fats introduced when we heat it. Or those free radicals get passed along into the body. And now our cells have free radical damage. When our cells have free radical damage, that cell can't function effectively because it has something attached to it that's damaging it. And when we talk about the blood or the heart, those are large area. That's the largest area where you have the most collection of blood at any one time. And so you're going to have more issues in that area because you have more red blood cells in that area. And those free radical, those damaged cells that make up the lining of the arteries and the valves that open and close and all of those things, start to get irritated, if you will. And cholesterol only does two things. Cholesterol makes cells, and cholesterol makes hormones. So cholesterol's job is like the fire department. An area in the body has free radical damage, cells are damaged, and the body calls 911 and says, yes, we got a fire over here in this particular artery. cholesterol says I'm on my way, and it travels there. And what it does is it covers up that area, if you will, like a firefighter spraying water over a fire, that area. And it tends to want to try to heal those cells, replace those cells, make good cells. And as that's happening, yes, that artery is smaller because you do have cholesterol in that area. And then the longer you continue to ravage the body, the longer the cholesterol has to stay there, causing now a blockage or causing that artery to harden, because that artery is hardening not due to the cholesterol, but due because it does not have everything it needs to stay healthy. The cells are damaged. When something is damaged, it dies if you don't give it, if you don't nurture it. And so arteries harden. When arteries harden, they tend to start to close up. And the cholesterol is there trying to fight and keep it healthy. That's how you get arteries that are blocked. So all the medical system stops that and says, oh, cholesterol clogs your arteries. What is cholesterol doing there? Why is it going there, and what is it doing there? And when you answer that question, you'll understand that the body's not in balance. The cells are damaged from free radical damage. And so, and also cholesterol makes hormones. Progesterone, estrogen, testosterone are all 100% by weight cholesterol. So if you're on a cholesterol-restricted diet and you're on cholesterol-lowering drugs like the baby boomers that we have in America right now, most of them are going through hell with their issues by being cholesterol deficient or having too low of cholesterol. And you see the commercials, and the erectile dysfunction commercials, the low T commercials, the hormone replacement commercials for women. All of these different commercials that you see are based on the medical system taking a problem that was not a problem and making it a problem and then profiting it off of it by telling you cholesterol was bad for you. Our great-grandparents, and depending on how old we are, our grandparents, they ate butter all the time, eggs all the time. They had farms where they raised chickens and they ate the eggs, and they lived long, healthy lives. And now we have people in our 30s and 40s dying, not tragedy like a car accident or something like that that's instant. I'm talking about dying for a long period of time, sick and ill for long periods of time. Those things are what really take the body to a whole new level. It really takes the state of health to a whole new level when you're sick and miserable day in and day out. And that's what we have to stop. That's where the paradigm shift has to happen. And now we're coming up on the new year, and people are getting ready to start to pay attention to their health again because they went through Thanksgiving and they ate all the things and did all the things that they wanted. And now we're coming into Christmas, which is another holiday where people are going to do the same things. And then they say, well, I need to get some of this weight off. I've gained 15 pounds. I gained 40 pounds over the holiday, or I've just been gaining weight all year long. I really got to get this weight off of me. Or, you know, I have these mental issues, or I have these back problems. And all of these things tend to get progressively worse throughout the year. And people, I actually took the liberty to really do a study on why people tend to be down this time of year. They said this is the most depressing time of the year, when it's supposed to be the most joyous time of the year. When you talk about being thankful, being humble, being gracious, being appreciative of the people that are in your life, being a giver, all of the synonyms and all of the characteristics that go with this holiday, but people are the most saddened. And they always talk about, well, because people are struggling and they don't have the money to give their kids Christmas, or they don't have the wherewithal to show their family a good time. Some of them can't have Thanksgiving. And it's amazing to me because last year, those some of those same people or the same statistics come out. And so people know I have a whole year to be different. I have a whole year to do something different. You know it's coming if you live long enough. And so we just hope that things will be different. we don't take the bull by the horn and say we have to make a difference. We hope that it's going to be different. And those are two different things. Hope is one thing, and make is an action, meaning you're doing something. It's a verb. And so when you make something happen or you make health happen, then that means you're putting things together to create a different outcome. But when you hope doesn't always bring you anything. Hope is busy with somebody else this year. So I looked at it from a nutritional aspect. And this time of year is when people eat the most unhealthiest. You got kids included. You got October, the end of October, which is Halloween, which is the largest candy day of the year next to Christmas, and Valentine's Day, October, which is Halloween. So people filling up on sweets and candy. And then you have Thanksgiving with all of the bad food that people tend to have. And then you roll that all right into Christmas. And the same amount of food or pretty much the same diet that you had or the same food that you had with Thanksgiving, but maybe a little bit more candy, a little bit more pies, a little bit more. You got Christmas parties going on, so there's a lot more parties going on around that. And I find from a nutritional aspect, people eat the worst and feel the worst during that time of the year because their body is going through so many changes trying to handle what's just happened to it. Pretty much can manage our diet throughout the year. Okay, most people can. But those times, you know, it's something that you look forward to. And all the time you hear, man, I can't wait to Thanksgiving. I want something good. Or I can't wait to Christmas. I want something good. And normally what's good for us is bad for us. So we even trick our brain into believing that the bad stuff is good for us. But our bodies don't know the difference. Our bodies can't say, oh, yeah, I know you said this is something good, even though it's really bad. No, our bodies are going to react like it's bad. You can't lie to your body. And so I realize a lot of the depression and a lot of the sadness goes on because people are down because of the changes that their body's going through. You have the winter solstice. I mean, there's a lot that goes on with the universe and changes that are made around us, but it's what we put in us and what we put on us. And so that was just kind of amazing to me that, you know, when you look at it from a diet perspective or a nutritional perspective, people are different. And so that's why another reason why we did this detox in November was just to really discipline ourselves for the new year and to get a jump start on your weight loss, get a jump start on how you feel. And so we're able to do that, and when you roll right into the new year, just like it's nothing to start. You've already started. And when you can start something before the start time or the start date, you're ahead. We have a big class coming up in January the 5th. We're starting another detox group for those who want to detox throughout the to get the new year kicked off. If you want to do it in January, the deadline is December the 15th, and that's pretty much the date that you want to go ahead and get your detox so that we can be prepared and be prepped for January the 5th. Also, we have a healthy body challenge that's going on. Challenge is coming up in January as well, and we'll be giving out more details about that. But the healthy body challenge is going to be fun because that's going to be really where you can win prizes and win money and get trained. And I mean, it's really fun to participate in that. And if you win, I mean, you get the rural treatment. They'll fly you out to San Diego and have you on stage. And I mean, it's a pretty good time. So in January, the Healthy Body Challenge is coming, and that's going to be another good fun thing that we'll be able to do and partake of. And you find that when you do health in groups and when you do health together, it's really easy. It's much easier than doing it by yourself. And so that's the part that I'm really excited about, and just excited about taking as many people on this journey to health, because we all have goals and dreams and aspirations in life, and a lot of times health gets in the way and those things get cut short, they get ignored, and then we can't power that we have and harness our greatness and really get it out into the world, because we all have a message to get out to the world. And if we don't get our message out to the world, then we have done ourselves a disservice and we've done the world a disservice, because we all have a goal. So that's a little bit about what I wanted to cover today. Now, I wanted to have one of our team members come on and give a testimony about how they're doing with the detox and surviving through Thanksgiving, or if it was easy, if it was hard. And you know, did they eat okay? Did they felt like they needed to have other things to eat? I mean, you know, so we can all have an idea of how this really works and how we can attention to what it is we need to pay attention to, and know that, hey, sometimes we got to sacrifice. And then when we sacrifice, we realize it's not as bad as we thought it was. So I'm going to bring on Miss Keisha Lakes, and I want her to just talk to us for a few minutes and explain to us, you know, how she did during Thanksgiving, what she did, and, you know, did she feel the need to eat the typical things that we eat for Thanksgiving that aren't the greatest, or, you know, was she disciplined, and how she's doing with the detox. So I want to bring her on. Miss Keisha, are you available today?
Hi, Donald. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me tonight. Hello, everyone. So I just wanted to talk a little bit. I made it through Thanksgiving, excuse me, and actually lost another 2 pounds. So I'm really excited about that. But my daughter called and she said, "Mom, I really, really need you to cook. This is detrimental for me." And I'm like, "Yeah, right, girl." But I gave in and I cooked. And so I just wanted to tell you all some of the things that I cooked. So I had a gluten-free cornbread dressing with organic cranberry sauce. I didn't eat too much of that, but she felt that it was just like my regular old-fashioned cornbread dressing, that the recipe that I got from my grandmother. So that turned out very well. I also had some organic garden pulled sweet potatoes, and they were mashed, and I didn't add much to it as far as sugars and other things. I put some organic honey in it just to sweeten it up a little bit for her taste. But I like sweet potatoes without any added sweeteners or butter or anything like that. Then for my green vegetable, I have Brussels sprouts, which that's my favorite. So I was really excited about that. And then I had pan-fried corn and shrimp that was packed with a lot of other vegetables. But I usually fry it with oil. And this time I took the liberty to use the real butter to fry it. And it turned out great. My daughter was very, very satisfied with that. And for my main dish or my meat, I had crab cakes, and they were not fried. They were also pan sauteed with the butter. And that was our Thanksgiving meal, and it was very satisfying. I did not eat, admittingly, I used to eat like a lot of other people. You know, I would eat a big plate because my eyes were bigger than my stomach, and then I would get the itis and go to sleep and wake up and go back for seconds. And being disciplined on this 30-day detox that we have, and not wanting to sabotage myself or the results that I already have, the great results that I already have, I decided to get you know, small portions on my plate, and I was full for the day. The next day I came back and I had even smaller portions for my lunch, and then right back to what I normally eat for the detox. And it wasn't heavy food, but it felt like Thanksgiving, and it was great. And like I said, I was even able to lose another 2 pounds, and that I did not, that was a great surprise. And other than that, everything is back to normal. And continuing in the detox, it's just a way of life now. It's not hard to do. I do have a few cravings. My favorite thing in the whole wide world is Ruffle plain potato chips. And and I think that's just a mind thing. I haven't had any in 2 weeks, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I need some potato chips. But other than that, I don't rush out to the store and get them. I don't give in to that temptation. And so it's just fine. And I'm excited to be, you know, at the end of the detox and just give my full testimony.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And it's amazing how, you know, to hear your story and to hear your results, and just to, you know, chime in and have you in a group. It's amazing because now you've been able to harness your family and get them on a detox, who they're doing with us. And I feel like that's what it's all about. You know, you're spreading health, and we're doing it together, and we're saving families, and we're keeping our families healthy and doing it all that we can do to make sure that we can make it. And so I appreciate you sharing, and keep up the good work. And let's just keep continuing to spread the word and spread what we're doing and how great this thing is, and see how many more people we can save. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So now we want to go out to La Helena, who is in St. Louis, and she is part of our detox group, and wanted to find out how she did for Thanksgiving, and, you know, was she able to get through it? How did the detox impact her, and how she felt about what she was doing? But we'll come back to her in a little while. But, you know, really just wanted to share and have people share what's going on. You know, it's always that great third-party verification that when you hear it from somebody else, it just sounds good. We on this call every week, and we cover a lot of different topics, and we do a lot of different things as far as health is concerned. But a lot of times it doesn't matter until you hear a testimony or you hear someone who has gone through it, made it through it, and also can share their testimony and what it did for them. And so I'm always grateful to be able to share mine and really just harness them to help other people bring in what it is they need to do what we got to do. It's a big mission that we have, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. I'm so glad to have all of the friends and family and supporters and people that have come along the way to really help us change the narrative in America that illness wins and sickness is kind of the new norm, and that's really not the case. And so for me, it's just always wonderful to be able to be in a space and be different in a space where everybody else is kind of doing the same thing and kind of have their own mission, so to speak, and just doing what they feel like doing, but then can't figure out why they have the problems they have, or can't figure out why there's a disconnect in health. And one of the things that I really wanted to go over, because I think that it's one of the things that we hear certain cases, but when we hear it in a sense of like tragedy or accidents, and we don't really look at it as how it affects the body. And that's trauma. You know, as Americans entered about the 21st century, they did so with a familiar companion, which is stress. And we all go through that. And that's one of the things that a lot of people are going through this time of year. And the realities of the New World have made Americans among the most stressed people on earth. And so you hear about certain countries where you got the happiest people on earth, in the country, and this and that, and why they're happy and why they're healthy. But for here in America, us being the most stressed people and having the greatest opportunity, so to speak, the opportunity of that American dream, as they call it. And some of the stress is self-imposed and some is not. But the bottom line is that most of us suffer from multiple pressures every day. And there is the stress from unhappy relationships, poor health, working, traveling, living too closely to too many people, artificial time requirements, accepting too much responsibility, job-related issues, and recently the threat of terrorist attacks. I mean, that's like we're always at code red or orange, and they put that on TV, and it just automatically sends your brain into a different space. If left unchecked, you know, these stresses can eventually lead to a whole spectrum of physical illness, including heart disease, mental illness, high blood pressure, obesity, insomnia, and that's just, you know, really to name a few. Prolonged stress can produce a state of trauma. Physical and emotional trauma can also be induced by an accident, illness, or shocking personal event such as death. Even after muscles and tissues that were injured in an accident are completely healed, symptoms of trauma can manifest. The best treatment for trauma most of the time is nutrition. During periods of stress and recovery from trauma, it is particularly important to be kind to yourself nutritionally. Diets should be high in fiber, full of organic foods. Stress reactions thicken the blood. Therefore, foods with a blood-thinning effect, such as ginger and garlic and cantaloupe, should be included in the diet instead of taking the blood thinners that doctors will give you. If you ingest these foods most of the time, you can keep your stress, you can keep, well, not only your stress level down, but you can keep your blood at a proper consistency. When dealing with stress and trauma, supplementation is vital in restoring the plasma levels of the antioxidants necessary for assisting the body's forces responsible for repairing body tissues. Trauma can frequently produce a domino effect that jeopardizes the multiple organ systems of the body. Trauma can also lead to widespread infection. Supplementation with antioxidants such as vitamin C and E and the mineral selenium and several different amino acids can assist in protecting and restoring tissues and actually reducing infection. There was one study that was done with 18 patients suffering from trauma, and they were placed in either a control group or given vitamin C and E along with selenium for 7 days. And as measured against the control group, the group that received the antioxidants had less organ dysfunction and fewer infections related to complications. In addition, tissue damage has been linked to elevated levels of lipid peroxidases, as well as other types of free radicals. Antioxidant supplementation can assist the body in combating such free radical damage. Vitamin E really has been shown to neutralize the effects of free radical damage and to strengthen the immune system by protecting the T cells. Vitamin E is like the army for the T cells. In another study, they looked at the formation and reactive oxygen species in humans by measuring antioxidant depletion. 6 female and 7 male head trauma patients with one woman and 14 men with basically hemorrhaging of the brain were enrolled in the study with 24 hours receiving their injury, within 24 hours of receiving their injuries. Blood samples from these patients were taken, and these patients, along with 40 control patients, were examined by a CT scan of the brain to determine that to determine the severity of their injuries. The lab results established that all of the patients with brain injuries had had lower vitamin C levels than those in the control group. The best anti-stress nutrients are the B-complex vitamins, one member of the B family. Pantothenic acid is particularly important, and it also quickly dissipates during stress reactions. So plenty of vitamin C, renowned as a free radical scavenger, is important. We all know the benefits of vitamin C, as well as its role as an antioxidant that helps protect the body against stress reactions and many associated diseases. Beta-carotene is another antioxidant that will protect the body during periods of stress. Minerals that need replenishing include like zinc, potassium, magnesium, chromium, and in instances where it is necessary to protect brain cells against oxygen deprivation or permanent damage caused by a head trauma, 10 milligrams of sublingual hydrogen, which is kind of a drug that they use for dementia, along with some hydrogen tablets, will actually help with lowering stress. But one of the biggest things when we talk about stress is really how to avoid it. And it's important to stay away from foods that deplete the system, such as sugar, which robs the body of chromium, as well as caffeine and alcohol and over-the-counter drugs. So many of these medications promise short-term relief but weaken the system in the long term, making stress and trauma worse. So trauma, again, is super, super duper hard on us, and we go through life with a lot of trauma and stress. And the best way to really combat that is making sure that we're getting all the nutrients that we need in our body every day. Make sure we're eating the proper foods once a year, come around and detox our system, our liver, and just continue to pay attention and keep the body healthy. And as adults, we can kind of bear more to do better. But really, we have to do better in our children, because really our generation as adults is during the 30s or 40s, we're like the last generation to really get good food and to have good food to eat and to actually get nutrients from. But kids pretty much these days are susceptible to mostly processed foods and GMO foods. I mean, just think, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, nothing was organic. Everything was just organic as it was. You didn't have to label it organic. Now you have to label it organic so you can separate it from the bad stuff. So, you know, we really have to be mindful, and we really have to pay attention to what we're doing within the body and within ourselves and our children. Because once our children start to have health problems, then as a parent you wake up, and you don't want to be awake in that way. And there was a study that was done that said this is going to be the first generation, meaning our children, that the parents will bury their children if we don't do anything different. And we see it happening day to day with kids getting cancer and kids, the level of birth defects are on the rise, and diabetes and cholesterol. I mean, they kids are on so much medication and ADHD medication and all these things that our children go through because they're not getting any nutrition. When they start out as an embryo or in utero, if the mother doesn't have all the nutrition she needs, then the child doesn't get it. Then a child is born nutritionally deficient, and then we put them on our breast milk as a mother. But then if we're gluten intolerant, we pass in the gluten intolerance into the child, and they have something like thrush. And thrush can be a problem, and they say, oh, well, it's the breast milk. Let's put them on this special kind of formula. Well, a study was done by Food Chemistry where they talked about the major baby formulas on the market, your Gerber, your Enfamil, your Similac, and they did a test on those, and they did it also on animal food for comparison. And it was found that puppy food has 100% of nutrition that puppies need. Cat food has 100% of nutrition that cats need. Rabbit food has 100% of nutrition that rabbits need. And even some of your larger animals like your cows and your sheep, they what they feed their babies in a pellet form is 100% nutrition. But when you look at Gerber, Enfamil, and Similac, it only has 20% of the nutrition that a child needs. So therefore, the child didn't start out with all the nutrition that it got from its mother. And then you put it on formula or breast milk, which didn't have all the nutrition that the child needs. And then by the time the child is weaned off of milk and start eating solid food, we run them straight to McDonald's and get them French fries and give them fried chicken bone and a piece of fried chicken and let them eat that and chew on the bone. We give them Eggo waffles and French toast sticks and Sunday Delight and all of these things that don't carry any nutrition. And then by the time they're 7 or 8 years old, they've been living for 8 years without any nutrition. And then they start to have issues. And sometimes even younger than that, depending on how much nutrition they actually got from their mom and the milk. And so the diet that children are on is just bad. I mean, you look at kids. It was a little girl I saw had brain cancer, and she was only 9 years old. And she's gone 9 years with very little nutrition. Because the parents are stuck to that American diet. And so, you know, we really have to be mindful and we really have to share, especially with the detox and a lot of the things that we do within our program that work. We have to not be afraid to share that with people because they truly don't know. They're not getting it from their OBGYNs. They're not getting it from their primary care physicians or pediatricians. They're not getting this type of information. And so, therefore, we have to be the ones to bridge that gap. So this is what my passion is every day. This is why I love to do what I do every day, because I understand it from a personal perspective. My son being born with 3 fingers on his left hand and my mother passing away from cancer, before I had this information and knowledge and before I decided to really find my passion, this has become my passion, and I've become obsessed with it in the sense that there's so many people out here that need to be saved, and we reach out to people one by one, and we get people, and they create testimonies, and then we just tell them, go save as many people as you can while we have the chance, because we never know when we're going to lose that next person. And so this is a big job. It's a big task because we're fighting a big monster, but the larger the group, the more strength we have is in numbers, and the tighter the group, the more people we can affect. So this is why I enjoy what I do. This is why I do what I do at the level that I do it. And I'm just grateful and thankful and humbled to be able to have been given this journey to walk on and then have so many great people come along with me. So with that being said, we're right about 8 o'clock in Eastern time. And I really appreciate everybody getting on the call tonight. There's going to be actually some big changes coming. Just to kind of update everyone, we will probably in January, we're trying to get all the kinks worked out, but we'll start to also do this call on Facebook Live. And that'll give you the ability to invite your friends and actually they can see what's going on. They can type comments in the question bar and get their comments answered. And so we'll have a lot of that dialogue, and then people can go back and take a look at it. And, you know, so I'm really trying to open that up. For those who are part of the group or want to, you know, get this information out to family and friends in the form of a reminder, they can text the word Health Talk, which is all one word, HEALTHTALK. Type the word Health Talk in the subject bar, and then the number you text it to is 55469. And so if you text the word Health Talk, all one word, to 55469, then you will get on our list, and you'll get the reminders of the calls, you'll get the reminders of the Facebook Live, and you'll get all of those updates as they happen. And then that way you can plug, you'll have ample time to be able to plug in those who you feel like need to share this message, or people who you're talking to, and you need that third-party verification. You need that backup. You need that platform to put them on so that they can see the vision of what you had, but also why you got into it. And so this is, these are things that we're working on for 2018 that I feel like is really just going to help us reach more people. And that's what the ultimate goal is at the end of the day, is collect more friends, create new lasting relationships, and really just sow into people where they are, and take them to the next level with you. Because like I say, we really have to tap into those things that we are passionate about. We have to tap into those things that we want to do in life, and it all starts with good health. And if we don't have that, we can't create good wealth. So with that being said, we will be back here next week, which is December the 5th already. I mean, it just feels like they dropped the ball for the new year not long ago, and we're at the end of the year. Time truly does go fast. But we'll be back here next week, December the 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to have a wonderful topic lined up next week. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of some health and some deficiencies. Still working on some guests and the topic that we're going to cover, but just be ready for that. And, you know, share the message, please. You know, get your family and friends on, and really, really, you know, save lives. This is the time that we go out and we go, you know, people went Black Friday shopping, and people going Christmas shopping and shopping online and all these things to buy gifts and buy toys and different things for people. And we really overlook the importance of giving people their health back. Some of these same people that we're buying gifts and toys for are suffering. And so we need to make sure that we are filling that tank as well when we tend to give. You know, just inviting somebody to a call, just saying, I have a gift for you. I know you've been suffering from X, Y, disease for a long period of time. I have someone I need you to talk to that may be able to shed some light on it. Because there's always those people that say, oh, I'm going to my doctor. I've been going to my doctor. I like my doctor. And I kind of chuckle and ask them, you know, well, how long have you been dealing with this problem? Oh, it's just been 5 years. It's just been 6 years. And you like your doctor. You like the fact that you don't have to, that you're dealing with the same thing. And you go see him every so often, and he just continues to tell you to keep doing the same thing. He's basically just stunted your growth and made you feel like you're stuck with this for the rest of your life, when there are ways to get better. There are ways to feel better. And it's not done through drugs and surgery most of the time. So this is why during this time of year, we really have to be diligent and really tapping into our friends and family, those that we care about, so that we can continue to gift them the gift of health and the gift of life, which will then return itself back to you tenfold. So I appreciate everybody that got on the call tonight. And I'm so excited that, you know, you decided to join us and you decided to bring your family and friends along for us to continue to push this mission and do what we're doing to, you know, end suffering and be that stalwart for our family and our friends that they can look up to. So again, until next week, I thank you all for joining me. If you have any questions or you have any concerns or you want a recording of this call, you may have heard something on this call that you want to share with your friends or family, and instead of you having to try to regurgitate it all back to them, you can text me. My phone number is 919-599-0916. And if you text me Health Talk Recording, I'll be able to text you back out the recording once it's done. It's normally finished about an hour after the show is over, and you can get the recording and, you know, send it to whoever it is you want to send it to, and they can listen to it in the privacy of their own home and when they have time if they weren't able to get on tonight. And then also to get updates of when we're going to have our call, again, text Health Talk, one word, Health Talk, to 55469 and make sure you make that one word, because if you make it two, it's not going to get you into the system. And you can get all the updates as we get them, as we send them out. So, again, I appreciate you all. I love you all. Thank you so much for joining me, and have a good night.